You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Play in Alberta, everything stays in Alberta. Revenues from Play Alberta stay in the province. Can help get the Henday built. But a record-breaking performance by Mr. Fields, 178 rushing yards. He also had the most passing attempts of his career in a game at 28. Also, three touchdown passes in what was an electrifying battle between the Bears and the Dolphins.
Yeah, it was really fun, wasn't it? The Bears, I really like what they've been doing offensively these last few weeks since they had that main bye after the game against Washington. They've started leaning much more into utilizing Justin Fields as a rusher and then getting him outside the pocket to give him not necessarily easier decisions to make, but more narrowly defined decisions. And it's really helped him because he's getting out on the perimeter. He can either use his athleticism or use like the cannon that he has attached to his shoulder to make essentially one of two throws when he gets out there. And then he can use himself as a check down as well. And it's working really, really well. And then he's navigating the pocket so much better when he is asked to stay in the pocket. I think because of the way they're getting him comfortable with the throws they want him to make on the perimeter and even with the quick screen kind of stuff that they're doing, it's been really fun to watch.
Oh, you know what? He's just getting better and better and looking more comfortable. Like the Bears, obviously, you know what? They traded away everybody on defense. So, you know what? He could be a great fantasy option down the stretch because you know they're going to be playing from behind most of the time. Jared, what other, you know, you look at some of the other performances by these teams, like, what do you make of the Green Bay Packers and why they're this bad?
It's a combination of, obviously, they lost an incredibly important part of their offense in Davante Adams and replaced him with guys that their quarterback doesn't trust and who are not nearly as good. But also, you know, they lost David Bakhtiari along the offensive line, so the protection up front is not as good. Rodgers spent a long time making throws that he shouldn't have been able to make just because he was that talented. And he would do it off of all kinds of crazy platforms and with footwork that if you showed like a coach an instructional video, they would be like, please never do this. But he was able to do it because he was just that ridiculously talented. But when you try to do the same thing with guys that you don't have like mind meld chemistry with, like he had with Davante Adams and Jordy Nelson and Greg Jennings and Randall Cobb back in the day, everything is not quite precise enough and things wind up a little bit off and then you're a little bit off for several games in a row and now you're trying to get a little bit too cute and you're making throws that you shouldn't be making and you're ignoring throws that are there. So it's a combination of all the personnel issues and then him just not playing all that well combined with those things, and it's all kind of snowballed on top of each other.
Well, it just seems like the Packers organization just doesn't really understand the importance of good receivers. It's like they underrate that. They're like, we have a good quarterback. Anybody can be a receiver. And the league is such a pass-happy league now that, yeah, it's great to have good quarterbacks, but you still need elite receivers if you want to maximize the potential of your quarterback.
I do think that the degree to which the Packers don't care about receivers has been overblown a little bit just because they didn't have anybody drafted in the first round. But, like, I just ripped off names of a bunch of guys like Davante Adams, Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb, and Greg Jennings. Those guys were all, like, second-round picks. Like, just because they weren't first-rounders doesn't mean they weren't really good. It's just that the group they came into this year with, I mean, none of those guys are even close to that level yet. And, like, even when Adams was at the beginning of his career, Rodgers didn't trust him. He had that season where he had, like, 10, 12 drops in his first year, and Rodgers was, like, refusing to throw him the ball or whatnot. But they still had Jordy Nelson at that time, so Adams could work through it. Now they don't have Adams, and they like he doesn't trust, you know, guys like Christian Watson, or, you know, there was a couple weeks there where he didn't trust Romeo Doubs, who's now hurt. He doesn't trust Sammy Watkins. He doesn't have that one guy who's like a security blanket. It's like Alan Lazard, but that guy's in like his seventh year. That was like a special teamer for a few years. It's not like he's a number one receiver that Rodgers can lean on while the other guys get up to speed.
Yeah, I don't know. I would question when I look at the Packers drafting record on wide receivers, really since Davante Adams was a big hit. That's in 2014. Since then, you know, I guess you would go with Marquez Valdes-Scantling, who they took in the fifth round in 2018, but every other wide receiver they've picked hasn't been very good. And, you know, they haven't taken any very high. And for the most part, the best receivers are taken early.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, they certainly have not had a good track record with drafting at that position recently. Like they took Valdez-Scantling and Equanimeous St. Brown, I think, in the same draft, and there might have even been another one in that draft if I'm remembering correctly. And I think it was they did the same thing a couple of years within that time range where they drafted like Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams in the same draft. They did the same thing with cornerbacks a couple of years ago. Like they like to do that where they try to turn over a position in one draft where they just take two or three guys and hope that that solves the issue for the next several years. And they really just did not hit on that with the receiver position, you know, in the interim, like you said, between Davante Adams and now.
Yeah, it's just not being very good at all. When you have an elite quarterback, it'd be like, man, get another receiver in there, and it'd be a huge difference for them. Now, you look at some like Joe Burrow. They go down a receiver, and they're just like, that's no problem. We'll just get Joe Mixon, and we'll run him the ball. And now I know it's Carolina, so it's not anything. But, you know, like after just laying an egg against Cleveland, like Cincinnati still seems to be that really good 1 week, and then they just, okay, now they're going to take off, and then they soil the sheets the next week. What do you see as the basis of their inconsistency in Cincy?
Well, I think a lot of it is they've been dealing with injuries. Obviously, now Ja'Marr Chase has been out these last couple of weeks. I think that not playing particularly well in the first game without him wasn't necessarily all that surprising. They've been dealing with some injuries on defense, too. They just lost their top corner to Tadobia Awuzie for the rest of the season. They lost them during that Monday night game. You know, their defense has been the better unit for the most part throughout the season, or at least the more consistent unit. The offense just didn't play well early on in the year. Like, they were giving Joe Mixon a ton of opportunities, and basically until this week, he had done, like, nothing with them. He was averaging, you know, like, one of the fewest, you know, yards after contact per carry, broken tackles, things like that. And he wasn't getting, you know, yards before contact per carry either. So he was just running into, you know, a stuck line and not really breaking any tackles or doing anything like that. It's a great sign for them that he was able to have this breakout game, and hopefully that, you know, will be more consistent over the second part of the season. But I think a lot of it is just they haven't put themselves in good situations, and they've been dealing with injuries.
Jared Dubin joins us from CBS. Well, Jared, the big news today, Jeff Saturday, the former center for the Indianapolis Colts, the first coach. Now, it's interim basis, but he's the first coach who doesn't have any, you know, NFL or collegiate coaching experience since like the 1960s. I don't know if you follow the NHL or not at all, but Marty St. Louis, you know, he came into Montreal, didn't really have any NHL or pro coaching experience, and that's gone okay. But they have nobody on their staff, I think, that's called offensive plays before. What's going to happen to the Colts? Who's going to be their play caller? And how do you foresee this going in Indy?
I'm stumbling over words because it's so hard to believe. It's entirely possible that it works out, but that doesn't make it any less of a joke that they did this, in my opinion. Like, you have a league where there are, you know, qualified minority candidates who haven't been able to get jobs for all kinds of ridiculous reasons, and they bring in Jeff Saturday, who has never coached football at any level above high school, to be their interim coach in the middle of the season. They just fired their offensive coordinator, Marcus Brady, last week. They lost their, you know, defensive coordinator, Matt Eberflus, in the offseason to the Bears. And it's like, you know, they've got two former head coaches on their staff in John Fox and Gus Bradley, like, and guys that have been obviously experienced for a long time. I mean, I don't know. I don't really have much more to say about it other than it's ridiculous and it shows, you know, the double standard that a lot of coaches that, you know, that a lot of coaches have faced for quite a long time and that the league was supposedly trying to rectify.
Yeah. Some people were saying, oh, this is them trying to tank. Do you agree with that?
I mean, I think that their roster sets them up to tank either way. And it's like you could hire any interim coach you want, and they're not going to be all that good given what we've seen from them this year. I don't think that you need to go and do this to tank.
Jared, great stuff, man. We appreciate your time. Enjoy the Monday Nighter.
Thanks for having me. Have a good night.